Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Erline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Oh, it's 8 o'clock, so guess what's happening right now, Del? Phone's lighting up. Yeah, so people are calling in. They want to play Beat the Limo Guy because Justin sucks at this, by the way. So Justin is terrible. And as a matter of fact, tonight I think somebody is going. Somebody's using their one of the winners. I don't. It's not Jackie, I don't think. She and her life partner, Amber, are going to go sometime soon. But I believe the other person that won is going tonight. So sending the Black Horse Limo, picking them up, taking them to Del Frisco's with a $200 gift card. You can eat pretty darn good at Del Frisco's with a $200 gift card. Yeah. So good for you. Have fun. Enjoy. 713-780-3776. Some rocket stories. The first one is apparently, according to Tim McMahon of ESPN, he says James Harden and Russell Westbrook didn't buy into Van Gundy replacing Mike D'Antoni. Van Gundy, I don't know if there was a lot of buy-in or any buy-in from James Harden or Russell Westbrook, McMahon said on the Brian Windhorst podcast. And I don't know if Jeff Van Gundy necessarily wanted to, you know, have to beg to coach guys. And so I think personality-wise, that might not have been a match. Duh. I mean, this is something that we said. I mean, obviously, play defense, play hard, run without the ball, all of those things that Jeff Van Gundy wants you to do, bring energy
culture
every night.
Change.
Of course,
culture
Russ
change.
Does that. Russ brings energy. But play smart defense?
Yeah, he does.
Play smart defense? Nah, I ain't about that. What? No, that's not what we do here. What we do here is we go, ole, and give me the ball so I can let them have a layup so I can go and shoot a three. That's what we do. And you know what? It's worked, I guess. If they played some more defense, however, I think they might be a better team. I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. I know they were the greatest bubble defense ever against Oklahoma City. Well, in large part because Oklahoma City sucks at that thing called offense. But they, you know, Jeff Van Gundy, I don't think they, can you imagine if Jeff Van Gundy was the coach, that fit with Harden and Westbrook with Jeff Van Gundy?
I mean, he's gotten along fine with Tracy McGrady in the past. I just think this just shows that, listen, James is a phenomenal talent, but James is just a problem for this team. If you can't do anything, if he's the guy that puts on every pair of jeans and nothing fits, it's like going to hey, you want to come with me to try on clothes? Hey, no. Like when your wife says that and you know that you're in for like, no, because you're not going to like anything. This is going to last forever. There is not going to ever, until James is the head coach, it's really not going to matter, will it? I mean, he couldn't get along with Kevin McHale. He couldn't have gotten along with Mike D'Antoni was fine because he was passive. He was submissive. You know, you've got James as the dominant and you need to have a submissive in there for James. Let's just be honest. That's the kind of relationship you got to have. There's no culture change. What culture change is there? There's no culture change for the Rockets. It's James is the boss of you still, and that's that.
Yep. Yeah, and listen, this is not a culture. That's exactly right. This whole culture change thing, it's not a culture change. What it is somebody that James can boss around. That's what it is. And James
and you're
still
cheaper
runs the show.
You're cheaper at head coach and you're cheaper at general manager. You're able to save some money there.
Yeah. I mean,
there's no way Rafael Stone is going to make as much as Daryl. There's no way Steven Silas is going to make as much as D'Antoni. There's no way.
No. No. They're just not. And then there's the, will James Harden be traded thing? And the answer is, well, Ben Simmons for apparently, I don't know if it was a real thing, Ben Simmons for James Harden is a conversation.
Oh, pass.
It was a story anyway. No, and Rockets did pass. But there is a chance that, how about this story? That Austin Rivers could be headed to the 76ers. That Daryl wants to trade for him. Because it would be, it would make Doc give more of a commitment to the team. And he, instead of being on the golf course, he'll be in the gym with the team.
Who said that?
That's a story. A trusted source said the best trade any Sixers GM could make would be to bring in Austin Rivers because it will turn Rivers into a more hands-on coach who is in the gym more than he is on the golf course. That's per Pat Sheridan.
Okay.
Or Chris Sheridan.
Then we know where that – then that came directly from Doc's old team.
Probably. Yeah, because after Austin was gone, he probably said, after this, I'm going to the golf course.
I was listening to you guys' conversation about the no Jeff Van Gundy thing. Look, it's NBA Twitter. Who knows what they know and what they don't know. But the Steven Silas hire has been lauded because apparently he ran the Mavericks offense, and that was an offense who was really, really good. And there is some talk of possibly Nate McMillan being an assistant, and he would take over the Jeff Bezdelic role.
And Jeff Hornacek, too.
Mac-10.
Yeah, so these are and their defense with the Pacers was good under Nate McMillan. So
oh, yeah, for
I don't,
sure.
I don't think they're ignoring defense, but to your point earlier, I think it's going to be somebody who they believe Russ and James will work whatever work well with means. They're not looking for potential conflicts with those two. But if we're just going off of reputation in terms of what people think of Steven Silas, I haven't seen a negative thing from NBA people. The Mavericks have commented on about how they'll miss him. Luka came out and go, that guy's a good coach. I'm going to miss that guy here. So reputation-wise, people feel like the Rockets won.
Well, and getting Nate McMillan and Jeff Hornacek as assistant coaches to me was a – you got head coaches that are assistants that can help him along the way that will be, you know – quite frankly, I was shocked when I heard those names. Shocked.
Yeah, but that's not a done deal yet with Nate McMillan, is it?
No, they're just names
that are
being
thrown
considered
out there. But if that is the case, if those guys are on board with him, I mean, I think it brings a hell of a lot more credibility. Hell of a lot more credibility.
Yeah, and, I mean, just because Steven Silas is an assistant, so we don't know as much about him. We do know that was a really good offense. We do know Luka is a good young superstar who he obviously had a good relationship with. I mean, let's face it, that matters. Having a coach who has a good relationship with the superstar for the Rockets is especially important.
How much different will it be, do you think? Or will he have to adapt to what James is doing now and just will continue to do that? Or do you think he – I don't know. How much different is Dallas's – how much different is Dallas's offense?
They've got more motion, but I don't – yeah, this is a good question because I think James is not – I think what Dallas does is better for the Rockets in general because of James and Russ and what they both do and giving them both an opportunity to have the ball at any given time. And there's plenty of – isolation opportunities for Luka. Luka has plenty of opportunities, you know, to take people to the hole in one-on-one matchups. But I just wonder after these years with Mike D'Antoni if James is going to really push back on anything that involves – he will. I don't think he would initially. But if it's not going well for the Rockets, I think the push is going to get hard to go back to the way they were doing it, which is more 1-4 sets.
Yeah.
You had some of that with the Mavericks too.
Well, I'm just going through some of the stuff about their offense. You're asking what it looked like. It's a five-out offense. I mean, I know, John, you had issues with Porzingis not being in the post as often as a seven-foot-plus guy should be. But that offense last year at one point, I'm not sure how it finished, was the second-best offense of all time. The only one who was better was one of the Warriors' offenses as far as per 100 possessions. So Steven Silas was the architect of that. That should make you feel good about what the Rockets will do offensively. But I'm just looking at some of the stuff. It'll be certainly perimeter basis. I just wonder what will be the slight differences and tweaks that they'll have to do to make James and Russ happy. Because I don't remember Luka running in a lot of motion. I mean, he was a guy who you isolated at the top, and he would be your decision maker because he's really good at it. So I don't know, unless you really dive in, how different it'll look at times.
It probably won't look much different at all. Probably not. We'll see. We'll see. Because you play to your. If you're a good coach, you use what. But maybe he brings in some wrinkles, and it does. Maybe he gets James to work off the ball. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if he can get James to work off the ball, because Mike D'Antoni certainly couldn't. And we'll see whether or not. And look, it is. It's looking like a. Is it appeasing James and Russ some? Yeah. Is it better for them than Jeff Van Gundy would have been as in their eyes? Yeah. But it's, apparently by everybody who's talking about this, it's a pretty damn good hire. And, you know, if Luka, you know, loved the guy and you heard Mark Cuban saying, man, that dude is just great, and we're going to miss him here, but best of luck because we really love that guy. I mean, that's saying something. That is saying something. So hopefully it'll be, you know, it is a first-time head coach, so we'll see with a veteran team whether or not they're going to, you know, walk all over him, or whether or not they're going to, you know, have the respect for him and listen to what he says. We'll see. We'll see. 713-780-3776. And then there's the issue of when they're going to play. The league wants to start December 22nd, but the Players Association is pushing back, saying, well, first of all, she's saying, I haven't even thought about it yet, so we're not making any. And guess what? The NBA, you've got to have the players say, yeah, okay, you agree on things together. It ain't like baseball. So that'll be interesting to see this fight, that they won't have. Christmas Day is huge for them, huge for them. But it'll be interesting to see whether or not the players push back and say, no, we ain't doing that. Now, if the players push back and say, no, we ain't doing that, they've got to get 70 games in. So you push either you push the season back, or you're playing every other night. I mean, you got to get 70 games in, otherwise you don't get your television contract. So the players might push back on this thing, saying, we ain't ready. Why aren't you ready? There are teams that weren't even in the bubble. There are teams that weren't even in the bubble, and then the teams that were only played and didn't make the playoffs only played 8 games, and then there were 4 teams that were out after 5 games or 6 games, whatever, and then there were, you know, I mean, the only there were 2 teams that played up until just a few weeks ago. Otherwise, everybody else should be pretty damn fresh. How many times did they have off during COVID? This pushback, all this is to, let's see who's gonna play chicken, who will turn first, who will swerve first, as opposed to let's work this out. What's best for us and what's best for the league? But playing on Christmas Day is vital to the league, isn't it?
To your point, Game 6 of the Celtics Heat was September 27th, so you exclude the 2 finals teams and the Lakers and the Heat. So you're talking about if the season started right before Christmas, almost 3 full months. Now you have training camp. Maybe that starts the beginning of December. Who knows? You're talking at least for, besides the 2 teams in the finals, 2 full months off, plus however much time they had off between the end of the season and the restart.
Yeah.
It's really affecting maybe 4 teams negatively, and mostly 2 teams negatively.
Right, right. And, well, who said, well, LeBron ain't showing up.
That was Danny Green.
Then LeBron ain't showing up. Oh, well. Then LeBron doesn't show up. Then guess what? Then the Lakers won't have home court advantage if LeBron doesn't show up for the first month. They'll probably still pay him. They probably still pay him. 814 ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776. The Loken Group is what we're talking about right now. If you're looking to sell your home, people, talking to Lance Loken about this, he was like, hey, this is an unbelievable time to sell your home. I mean, there are so many people out there, for whatever reason, right now, looking to buy. This is a seller's market, and you can get unbelievable deals. And there are so many examples. Just 3 days on the market, 11 showings, $10,000 over list price. That is huge. What if your agent can't sell your home and the listing expires? You need to go with the Loken Group, who consistently sell homes. Other agents just can't sell. And you want to sell your home without all the hassle? How about an immediate cash offer? To achieve top dollar for your home, you need an agent who can create an auction-like effect with buyers competing for your home, and they drive up the price. And if you're worried you won't be able to sell your home for the price you want, Lance Loken will buy it from you. If your house is still on the market, if you have had to lower your price on your home, get rid of that agent and get the Loken Group. They are the number one at Keller Williams Platinum. 281-861-4624, 281-861-4624, or the Loken, L-O-K-E-N, thelokengroup.com.
ESPN, 97.5.
Hey guys, Lance Zierlein here, and wait until you hear what my friends over at Bespoke Post are up to. Bespoke Post has brand new seasonal box of awesome collection for guys that are guaranteed to upgrade your life. They send guys the very best stuff every month, whether it's gear to upgrade your autumn craft beers or cozy threads, or maybe you just want some clothing for when the temperature dips. No matter what you're into, Box of Awesome has you covered, from style and grooming goods to barware, cooking tools, and even outdoor gear. To get started, go to boxofawesome.com and take the quiz. Your answers will help them pick the right box of awesome just for you. And they release new boxes every month across a ton of different categories. It's free to sign up, and you can skip a month or cancel anytime. Each box costs just $45, but has over $70 worth of gear inside. Get 20% off your first monthly box when you sign up at boxofawesome.com and enter the code BENCH at checkout. That's boxofawesome.com, code BENCH, for 20% off your first box.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you see, so Nebraska and Wisconsin aren't playing. Nebraska went to the Big Ten and said, hey, we can schedule the game. Who was it against? Tennessee, Chattanooga, or somebody, whoever. They said, we can schedule the game against Tennessee, Chattanooga. They've got an open week. We've contacted them. They want to play. Can we play? Nah. Nah, you can't play with Nebraska. Dan Wetzel did a piece today saying, this marriage between Nebraska and the Big Ten is just crap. It's just terrible. Nebraska was the one who was pushing hard for a football season, and it did, that didn't go off, and then finally it did, and Nebraska just is not a big, it's just not a Big Ten school, it just isn't. And I could, Nebraska back in the Big 12. Now I don't think Nebraska would do it because of the money, but Nebraska in the Big 12 is a much better fit, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a much better fit, but there's too much hard feelings over Texas and the Longhorn Network. I mean, they were adamant that that was a piece of crap move by the Longhorns to hoard that money. And I don't see them doing that. I see them staying in the Big 12, but it's not a great fit. What about the SEC? If the SEC wanted to expand, it's not great geographically, obviously, but it's not terrible geographically.
No, I mean, if Missouri can do it, Nebraska can do it.
Right.
Right, I'm not sure that Missouri is really a big is really an SEC. I'm not sure that Arkansas is really an SEC school. If you want to know the truth,
in basketball, yeah, No, they've been a pretty good fit there for all the other sports. Baseball, I think their culture is SEC culture, if you know what I mean. So I think Arkansas is fine, especially with Sam Pittman there now. Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll tell you this. What do you think of A&M being a 12-point favorite against Arkansas?
I think that's a dangerous move.
I think that's too many points.
I think that's a dangerous move. But isn't the one thing, it looks like it, but here's the thing. Remember that Arkansas, they're, you know, what we base a lot of this on is that Ole Miss game, but that quarterback for Ole Miss had 5 interceptions that game.
No. Yeah.
I mean, you know, that's not normal. He's special from a terrible standpoint at interceptions. Actually, Matt Corral has some talent. He just has a ton of interceptions, and he had 5 in one game.
Yeah, they've got 13 turnovers already.
Yeah,
they've
wouldn't sleep on Jimbo's defense right now. I think they're getting better defensively.
Yeah, no, listen, I guess I don't know, but it was the line was moving, but then it moved back. A&M money came back on it, and I don't know, man. They got a lot of if they beat Arkansas by 14 by 2 touchdowns, that's saying something about this Aggie team. I think this Arkansas team now. It's not really good. Not really good offensively. I mean, they do have their flaws, but defensively, they turn the ball over and they make a difference. So if they, and Kellen tends to, you know, make some bad throws every once in a while. I mean, lately he hasn't, but it, you know, he had his whole career. He tends to give the ball up in tough situations, and that's been a bugaboo for him. But we'll see if he doesn't. If they don't turn the ball over, they could easily cover this spread.
Right.
But that's saying
something. But Spiller and that offense is really running well, too.
Yep.
So there's not as much pressure on Kellen Mond when they're running the way that they've been running.
No, it absolutely opens everything up. I mean, he threw for 139 yards last week. And right. Well, it wasn't a beautiful game that they played, but they, you know, they handled them easily. And now Mississippi State's offense is just crap. That's as bad as Mike Leach has ever had. That's how bad that is. So this is a different deal, though. They're not great. Arkansas is not great offensively, but it's better than Mississippi State. So we'll see. We'll see. I just think that number is a big number, especially since we've been watching this for how long now? Now, they usually play in Dallas, but this game is always an overtime game. This game is always a tough game. Historically, now, these are two different teams and everything else, but this is always a tough matchup for the Aggies. Always. So we'll see.
Yeah, I'm interested to see just how much better Arkansas is right now. So, yeah, we'll see. I think A&M they've gotten some tough games out of the way. Florida is one of the best offenses you're going to see in the nation. Alabama is one of the best offenses you're going to see in the nation. So you've taken swings at two teams. You beat one of them, you lost the other one. But you've taken swings at of the most prolific offenses in football. I feel like everything else is just kind of, you know, that's like swinging two bats on the on-deck circle or a big heavy donut on the bat. You take that thing off, and it's a whole lot easier when you're facing some of these other teams now. You don't have the same amount of pressure on your defense. It's just a matter of Kellen Mond playing smart football and being able to run the football. Those are the two keys. And I don't want to blow Arkansas up like as some kind of, you know, some kind of looming monster that's beneath the surfaces. I don't think that's what they are. Their roster's not that good. I think Sam's done a good job, Sam Pittman, their head coach. But I think Arkansas still is way behind A&M in terms of, you know, total roster.
Yeah. Dell, which way would you lean on this one? 12, taking them or giving them 12?
I don't. I wouldn't lean.
Make them some money.
I don't want to make them any money.
I'm not asking to make any money. I'm just asking you a question.
Mm-hmm. I wouldn't lean to get. I wouldn't lean to take the Aggies in those points. Why would I? What about this game suggests? This game's history suggests. Yeah, take the Aggies by 2 scores. Now, it is at home. That's the one difference. It hasn't been at home since the Aggies have been in the SEC. But it's
but home field doesn't mean as much in the COVID era.
Talk to Dan Mullen. He said it made a big difference for his team. So we'll see. And that's why he won at 90,000 in his building until everybody in Florida got COVID.
His whole team got COVID.
Yeah. It just feels too big. For a team, just to clarify.
Hey, save that.
Why would? Sure, I'll save it and play it throughout the show. It makes me uncomfortable taking the Aggies by that many points against Arkansas. I don't like it. I just don't like it. Yeah. I like Arkansas's defense a lot.
Yep. I agree. I hope that'd be great if they can beat them by two touchdowns, but we'll see. 713-780-3776 is the number if you'd like to get in here on ESPN 97.5. 713-780-3776, the number to hang with us. Top of the hour, beat the limo guy. Who won, Del?
Donovan, who I believe was a contestant last year, if I recognize the name and the voice when I talk to him. So Donovan will be playing Justin at 10 o'clock.
Donovan going to be playing at 10 o'clock right here. He's not the one that went oppo every single time, right?
Last year, I don't think so.
Right.
I don't think so. Besides, Justin has already found a solution for that. He'll just let those guys go first.
He'll let them go first.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, well, they can go oppo on four. They can't go oppo on all five.
That's true.
Yep. Right. That is a pretty good strategy, though. Just go against whatever the limo guy says, and you're going to win. That's been a pretty good strategy.
By the way, guys, I have some major news. Major news. Number one, I finished Schitt's Creek. So that was major. I finished that. Very, very funny. But the major news is that I started Peaky Blinders yesterday. For the first time, I just started Peaky Blinders.
Use the subtitles. Waiting.
I already have. I started it with subtitles because I already knew. And I was thinking, you know what? This would have been impossible without subtitles.
I did most of it without subtitles, and it was always going, what did he say? And so
I speak Irish. Like, I'm able to speak Irish, and yet I still couldn't understand them.
You're not Gaelic, and you can't speak Irish, okay?
They spoke a weirder version of it.
Yeah, well,
they didn't speak like my...
You're not speaking Irish. That's English with an Irish accent, and a bad one.
Oh, look at me. Look at me. I'm Irish.
What?
Is that racist, Del?
It kind of is, yes.
It kind of really is.
Yeah, I don't imagine.
No, nothing's racist. Nothing's racist if you do it against the Irish.
I don't think, that's probably more racist, too. I don't think the Irish would appreciate what he's doing right now.
No.
What?
I'm lucky charms.
Why didn't you talk about potatoes when you're doing that accent, too, to just emphasize
you
the racism?
You didn't give me enough time.
Okay.
You didn't give me enough time.
Are you drunk?
We've
all got
razor blades in our hats now. We've got razor blades in our hats. They're drinking a lot on that show.
Oh, yeah, they drink a lot on the show. Holy crap, do they drink a lot on the show. Yeah. No. So are you drinking while you're doing it? While you're doing this imitation? This racist imitation?
No, I'm not drinking.
Why can you do Irish and I can't do male golf or female golf or food? Why is that?
It is a question you need to ask, John.
Yeah. Racism,
ask
that's
it, because
why.
The Irish, because you're allowed to pick at the Irish. Everyone knows that. You're allowed to pick at the Italians.
Why can you go, hey, Johnny, why, you got to eat a cup of gold. Why is that okay?
Get all over my face. I don't know. I don't make the rules.
But I can't do male golf or female golf or food. Should we do male golf or female golf or food next segment?
No.
Del?
No.
Yes. I say yes.
Why? Why?
I say yes, John.
Do you want to be a part of it?
You'll be the first contestant.
Yeah, you get the guess.
No. I want to listen to you do male golf or female golf or food. I want to hear it.
Oh.
And I'm texting Wendy saying, hey, you need to listen to the radio.
John's doing something great right now.
She's right in the other room.
I think John's making you proud.
713-780-3776. If you want to get in,
it's about time we get to a break. We don't have time to be doing all this. The break
is
here.
It is time.
Talk about your basketball goal.
No, talk about barbecue.
I think I'm talking about Damaris. Actually, I think I'm talking about.
It's just a guess.
I think I'm talking about the Damaris brothers, and I'm talking about the best place to
corn, beef, and cabbage.
No, corned beef
and cabbage. That's the number three combo plate.
No, it is not.
They don't have combo plates there.
They
don't have corned beef and cabbage. What they have is they have
shepherd's
brisket,
pie. Is that what they have?
Sausage, turkey. They've got and delicious and all this. And make sure you get the jalapeno corn when you go there. But listen, they've also got a $6.95 deal, seven wings for while you're watching the Texans. You want to go and watch your Houston football team? While during the Houston football team's game, they have got grilled wings that are delicious, that are wonderful, and just $6.95 under a buck a wing. And I'm going to tell you, you're going to love it. They've got the NFL Sunday package. They got the ticket, so you can watch all of your games. They've got the TVs in there, and they got it set up, and it's wonderful. And they've got, of course, you want to talk about Mexican food. They've got fajitas. And by the way, their ribeye steak is excellent. It really, really is good. So they've got all the fixings, the baked potatoes and everything else that you could possibly want. You want to get a meal or you just want to watch your games and have a great time at the bar, you can do that as well. They are on 18th Street on the 610 feeder, right by the Whataburger there. And they're also on Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Damaris Barbecue has been around forever. If you're looking for a great place to get your barbecue on and a whole lot more, it's Damaris Barbecue. And, of course, if you want to cater, DEMERIS.com.
Listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Seahawks and Saints are apparently looking to trade for J.J. Watt. I'd be down with that.
Yeah.
If they gave up a second rounder for J.J., do it?
Yes.
Yes.
If somebody will give up a second, you for sure do it.
Even if it's it's going to be a late second, obviously. But, oh well. That's fine. I'll take a late second for JJ right now. What's the difference? Right? You suck with him, you suck without him. So?
Yeah, no, and if you're going to make him a cap casualty next year,
yeah.
No, absolutely. I'd take a third for JJ. There's no reason to keep him. You've got to get something.
Oh, a third? Oh, come on. Well, okay, what do you take for Will Fuller?
I'm telling you, people are way too. I honestly, legitimately, don't, unless you're going to keep Will Fuller full time, you're going to keep him long term. You already have an idea about what you want to offer him contract wise. I just think a fourth is the best you can get for Will Fuller.
No, don't say fourth. Goodness gracious. You would take a fourth for Will Fuller. No. Not doing that. What about for Randall Cobb? How about Carlos Dunlap went for a seventh and an offensive lineman? Of course, Carlos Dunlap wasn't even starting, so. But still, it's a body. That's a big body. It's just amazing what guys go for, and yet you're still getting two firsts for Jamal Adams, and you're getting two firsts for Laramie Tunsil, and you're getting two firsts for. I mean, it's just amazing. Was it two firsts or a first and a second for Jamal Adams? Whatever. What do you get for Randall Cobb? What would you take?
I don't think.
What would you take if you're the Texans?
I don't think anyone would give you anything, to be honest with you.
You take a seventh?
I always ask this. I was tagged by other people into some kind of trade scenario thread that lasted forever that I had to eventually mute. And I'll be honest with you. All these people who say things like, okay, here's what I would take. Whitney Mercilus, maybe a third or fourth. Would you, if you were a team, what would you, I always ask this. If you were a team taking on Will Fuller, what would you want to give up, John, for Will Fuller?
What would I give up for Will Fuller? What would I want to give up
for Will
Fuller?
Yeah, since you know all about Will Fuller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would say a fourth.
Okay, what about for Randall Cobb?
Seventh.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
There's no value with Randall Cobb.
No.
He's got another year on his contract. There's no value with Randall Cobb. You can find – you probably have a Randall Cobb somewhere on your roster.
Yeah. Yeah, no.
You can find younger Randall Cobb somewhere.
You'll be lucky to get a seventh for Randall Cobb. Yeah. No. But JJ, I think there's value there. Plus, he's – you know, I know it's 17 next year you got to pay him. But you know what? 17 for a guy that's, you know, playing well and it makes an impact, is an impact player like JJ is, that's not – he'll walk into wherever – he'll walk into New Orleans. Now, he won't be their best guy, but he'll be one of their best guys. He'll be one of their best defensive linemen. So, who was the other team that was there, that was looking at him? So, I mean, JJ walks in the Seahawks. Oh, well, at the Seahawks, I mean, they need to put some pressure on a quarterback now. They need somebody that is going to actually
disrupt
it.
But they just traded – but didn't they just trade for Everson Griffin?
And Carlos Dunlap.
No, they traded for Carlos Dunlap. I don't think – is JJ still on the – would he still be on the – was he still be a consideration? Is that an old article you see?
No.
Well, why would you trade another player – why would you trade for another guy?
Because you need a lot of help.
We have.
I mean, Carlos Dunlap. You gave up a seventh for. That's nothing.
How about that? Carlos Reed goes for. I mean, Carlos Dunlap goes for a seventh.
I know, and an offensive lineman. Yeah, I mean, so. The BJ Finney. And a seventh rounder.
He's a backup center.
Yeah. They gave literally nothing for him. And Carlos Dunlap was a backup in Cincinnati, so that's not a difference maker. They need a difference maker. That's just a body. They need a difference maker. They need JJ for a second rounder.
I don't think they're going to give second rounder for him.
Well, the question is what will the Texans take? Honestly. I mean, if you're – a third rounder? Really? You're going to take a third rounder for J.J. Watt?
Okay, would you rather take a third rounder or zero? Because you're not going to let him get all the way through his contract, are you? You're going to keep him next year, too?
Yeah, you're going to keep him next year? Hells yeah.
Okay, you have to. You're not getting a cap cut from that. You get 17 shaved off the cap next year. You don't want that?
Yeah, I want 17. Well, yeah, I guess I do.
Well,
Well,
it's a zero cap hit after this year.
I want that, but I want a second rounder too. Okay.
Okay. Asking you. Okay, why would they give in to you? Why in the world would Seattle ever give in to the Texans on anything? The Texans don't know how to trade. Just say, look, we'll give you a fourth, and that's it. So if they say that, if they tell you we'll give you a fourth, and that's it, we'll give you a fourth and a fifth. What would you do if you're the Texans?
No, I'm not taking a fourth and a fifth. Okay,
you say no. Now, do you cut him in the offseason and save $17 million, or do you keep him again next year and then let him play through the contract and then get a compensatory, hopefully a compensatory pick? Of course, you don't get one if you sign more people than you let go. So keep that in mind, too. If you have to sign more free agents than you let go, then I don't care how big a name the player was, you don't get a compensatory pick.
You don't get a no picks. Yeah, I mean,
would you rather have the third rounder or from a compensatory pick, which is, you know, right around pick 100, or would you rather
have a fourth and a fifth?
Have $17 million in savings. No, your choice is, would you rather get the third rounder?
Well, if I'm not going to trade him now, I'm not going to cut him next year, probably. I don't know that they're – are they worried about that $17 million? What are they going to do? What are they going to do with that $17 million? I mean –
no, he's on the books. I mean, to me, you could keep him.
You could keep him.
To me, I would keep him
he's
because
value,
I'm getting that third rounder.
He's value if I'm getting that second rounder.
Oh, I'm getting that – yeah, I'm getting that compensatory pick. If I can't make a deal this year, then he's not getting cut in the offseason. I don't care about the $17 million savings. I need that third-round compensatory pick, at least for J.J. Now, the other thing is, if you have a – now, it's easy for me to say that. Cal is about to take on a whole year of having almost nobody in the stands, just tremendous losses. You know, that $17 million is actual real money, too. So they can get away from that actual – his actual salary. Let's not forget that.
Right, right. Yeah, by the way, this is their income. There's only a handful of teams that their primary income is the NFL team. So, yeah, that's a consideration. I'm sure it's a consideration that nobody wants to hear, but it is a consideration. Yeah, they could save that $17 million on a team that's going to be crappy anyway. Save the $17
million. And, did you see what basketball's losing?
Basketball only lost 10% last year. That's all they
lost. Not a huge – now, had they not come back and played in the playoffs, the reason why LeBron was team, yes, let's keep playing, and the NBA followed suit and the players, is because somewhere along the line, the Players Association said, look, if you don't come back and play, you are going to lose all of that basketball-related income, which includes the playoff money, which was over $1 billion.
The television money, if you didn't hit 70 games?
Yeah, the television money. Yeah. So you're going to lose that. Like, it would have been – the loss would have been probably closer to 20% plus in terms of the dip. This was a big deal. This is a big deal for them to come back and play, because now they just lose 10%, which is manageable. You can manage a 10% loss of basketball related income.
Well, don't forget, though, they played most of their season too, right, in front of fans. So next year –
yeah, that's why it's only 10%.
Yeah, right. Next year is going to be a bigger deal if they don't have any fans in the stands. But we're already talking about the Super Bowl having 20%. It is outdoor, though. Maybe they could start playing outdoor NBA games. That'd be totally sweet.
Oh, at those courts across the street from Toyota Center?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That'd be nice.
How totally
just let people
sweet
stand 6 feet up, away from everybody?
Mm-hmm. Wow. I'm looking at a mock draft, Lance. Trevor Lawrence, number one to the Jets. Giants, Penei Sewell. Jacksonville, Justin Fields. Falcons, Trey Lance. Dolphins, Jamar Chase. Dell, do you want Jamar Chase?
No, John, I don't want a Biletnikoff Award winner on my team. Yes, because the Dolphins' current wide receiver core, particularly the guys they count on, are two target guys, not pure speed or route runners. Devontae Parker, Preston Williams are guys who you throw the ball up to, and they'll use their body to go make plays. Jamar Chase would add some versatility to that core. They don't really have a guy like him on the roster, so that'd be great. Some other news in the NFL: Ronnie Stanley got a big deal, just reported by Rappaport and Schefter and others. Average per year for Ronnie Stanley, as it pertains to one Laremy Tunsil, if you just include the new money as opposed to what they're like, Rappaport's including what he was already going to make, but his new money deal is 19.7 per year, which still comes under Tunsil.
You stupid idiots.
19.7.
Oh, my God.
We don't make knee-jerk decisions.
Arguably, one of the best tackles in football is going to make more than $2 million less per year than Laremy Tunsil. But get your bag. Get your bag. That's all I can say. It's good.
And he's only going to be here for another 3 years.
Yeah.
Or he's going to just bend you over.
It's
even
interesting
because
Deshaun said the same thing. I'll be here another 3 years.
Yeah.
Well, plus the time he has time served.
Right. It's just unbelievable. Yeah, I'll take 19.7. That's great. 19.7, that's oh, thanks. Appreciate it.
22. Here's what happened. You basically had the Ravens say, look, we're not doing this Laremy Tunsil thing. We're not a bunch of idiots. That's an outlier contract. The Texans were so stupid and scared that they literally gave in to exactly how much Laremy Tunsil asked for simply by not answering the phone when Bill O'Brien called and then answering and telling him that they were mad at him because they didn't feel like they loved that they showed Laremy enough love. And so Bill O'Brien literally gave in to $22 million. You want to know how bad that contract is? The Ravens took the best tackle on football and said, yeah, you can. We're not working off of that at all. Let's work off Lane's deal.
No, we don't.
This is a terrible deal. We're not working off this. How many years, Dell?
And the agent said, okay, yeah, we get it.
5 years.
Oh.
Oh, my God.
5 years, 98.
5 years.
No.
5 million.
No.
Oh, my God.
Oh, no. 5 years, and Tunsil worked him for 3. Good Lord. It's just getting worse. It's 8:46. Go to break. Lance, talk about a grill.
Let me tell you about Texas Star Grill Shop. As I'm sitting out here doing my show in my car, I can see my grill right now. And that grill is going to have to be put to good use this weekend. I'm so excited. The cooler weather is great for me. Some people like the hot weather. I just got done watching this Great American Barbecue Showdown or something like that on Netflix, this championship they had. And you know, it just gets you all excited because when you watch something like that, you want to go in and you got a place like Texas Star Grill Shop where you got all these incredible grills where you can control the heat. They even use a lot of the same grills you find at Texas Star Grill Shop or even on the show. And like the Big Green Egg, Kamado Joe, those ceramic cookers, you've got the Traeger Wood Pellet Grill was on there for one of the episodes, gas grills, Pits and Spits, which is a local company, but I'm telling you, they make some of the sturdiest, best-built, high-performing grills that you're going to find on the market. And right now with this great fall sale, they'll offer it to you at discounted rates. You're never going to find them outsold by any big-box store. These are the best rates you can find, and they'll assemble and deliver the grills for you absolutely free. And don't forget, when it comes to rubs and marinades and meat thermometers and all everything that helps you become even wax paper, the things that help you make the very best, including, I got to tell you guys, for briskets, you want to check out Hardcore Carnivore. That's something for your bark you're definitely going to want to know about. But your stop is the one-stop shop over at my friends at Texas Star Grill Shops. Go to TexasStarGrillShops.com. Find one of the 3 locations nearest you. Get in there, and for any barbecue needs, you're always going to stop in at Texas Star Grill Shop.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Well, we can forget it anyway. According to Albert Breer, 4 players are off limits. Name the 4 players, Lance. The Texans have told teams that they are not available for trade. Who are the 4 players?
I don't know if he's there. He didn't tell me he wasn't going to be there, but I don't know that he's there. I know who the players are because I put the article on the rundown.
Right.
So, yeah, the JJ discussion seems null and void, according to Albert Breer.
Albert Breer says Deshaun, JJ, Tunsil, and Titus Howard off limits. No touching. There will be no touching of those 4 players.
And it only really makes sense for 3 of them.
Doesn't make sense. Yeah, JJ should be available.
Yeah. What other reason than nostalgia is JJ Watt not available?
Yeah, I mean, just because, I guess because of the stature. I mean, if I'm JJ, I'm like, y'all, I could go. I go. Just send me to the Packers. I can go back up there. I can play where the team that I loved growing up. They're a winning organization. I got a chance to win. Why are y'all keeping me in prison here? In Texans hell.
I don't see J.J. doing it in the season, asking for a trade, because it's just, oh, J.J. Watt's asking for a trade in the season. I don't think he wants that deal, but I could see it happening in the offseason. Hey, guys, could you find a way to get me out of here?
Why not now?
Because I mean, it makes you look bad.
As opposed to finishing up with a 1-16?
I think he cares about perception, and it makes you look bad if you're, quote-unquote, bailing on your team and you ask to get traded. It shouldn't. But people look at him wrong if he does it. I wouldn't be surprised if he did it in the offseason, though.
No, well, nobody has to know. Of course, everything is known.
The Texans are known to keep things private.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, if he wanted, but you know what? I'd say screw you. You got issues with me because I don't want to play on a 1-16 and it, in a pro, that doesn't have a general manager or a coach. And is heading with no draft picks, really? After I've given all my best years, and we're not going to win anything. I'm never going to win anything ever. I mean, really? You're going to hold that against me? I don't give a rat's ass. They're still going to build a statue of me out there.
I know what you think, and I'm not disagreeing, but I don't think he wants that out there. That he asked for a trade during the year. That he said, "I'm done here. I quit. I can't do this anymore." I could see it happening in the offseason. Say, hey, guys, I've been a good soldier. I sat through that crap year, didn't make a fuss, didn't make any noise. I wasn't Carlos Dunlap. I wasn't all these other guys. Find a way to get me out of here. You owe me that.
Looking at his press conferences, it's like, I don't know how he could possibly want to be here. He's the angriest I've ever seen him. He is the angriest man in this city.
Deshaun talked about, "You're not going to take my joy." JJ's not saying that.
No, JJ has never. His joy is totally gone. He has no joy left. Zero. He has zero joy in his life right now.
Trade that wife, man to Chicago.
His wife lives in another city. I mean, he. Now you think that's a positive, but.
Well, it depends. I mean, it's early in the deal, so maybe it's not a positive. And he probably needs a confidant right now, someone near him he can talk to about what is going on. We don't have to guess. We see it on his face every time he has to speak after a loss, or even during the game when he makes a play, but they're down a couple scores. There's no joy there.
No. The less he was walking off the field pissed off after a tackle for loss on the third or fourth down, whatever it was. He was just pissed. It's like there's no joy. There's no joy. Deshaun,
I'm not going to take my joy.
I just got paid. I'm okay. I don't give a rat's ass. I had the best game ever for a quarterback who lost. I'm okay.
Well, he did say I'm tired.
Yeah. He did.
Yeah, no, so I'm not
tired.
Sure.
Tired. So tired.
This guy said he doesn't. He also talked. This guy, Deshaun, also talked about how he doesn't. He's never experienced this before. So, I mean, JJ was early on. He had some success early on. He didn't have to suffer through losing early in his career. And Deshaun, pretty much the same way. I mean, outside of the injury year, he's been to the playoffs. He hasn't had to deal with something like this. We've sat here and watched mediocre football, but for him, he's got two double-digit win seasons on his resume. He doesn't know nothing about losing as a Texan. Now he does. So,
yeah.
Deshaun, we hope because of what type of player he is, he won't have to experience many of these seasons in Houston. But he's not at a point where joy gets taken away. JJ has sat through awful years. Deshaun will get there. Don't worry. Another year like this.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, Deshaun's only going to be here for this contract, probably.
Well, see, you're being negative now.
No, he probably will. I mean, unless they throw a bajillion dollars at him again.
I mean, when
but why
throw?
Put up with this? Why put and by the way, the whole, I mean, I don't, I think that this hole is actually going to be, you can dig out of this hole quicker. You can dig out of this hole quicker than you can dig out of the Rockets hole, because you've got those contracts that are just destroying you for the next 3 years. I know you don't have draft picks this year, but you'll have them. You got third, if you could, you know what? Some places, this actually happens. I don't know if you heard. But third rounders and fourth rounders and fifth rounders and sometimes sixth rounders actually pan out and become players.
What places are those?
This happens oh, well, I can name a place that won a Super Bowl with fifth rounders. It's called Seattle.
Don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, that happens.
Sounds unfamiliar and pretty much a lie.
Yeah.
Because I know I live in a football city where, Houston's a football city. I was told that by the once former GM or the current former GM in Bill O'Brien. And I don't see third round picks being successful.
Yeah, not these per se.
Mm-hmm.
Not the ones that we see mm-hmm. every Sunday.
Because you know who's
up this Sunday?
The third round pick for the Texans, and how great was Grenard on Sunday?
Oh, was he active? No one
he might have been.
I know Blacklock was. Blacklock actually had a good game.
That's your second round pick. So
yep,
I would
he
hope so.
Had a good game. So there's that. How is Charlie Heck? How do you play?
Well, he's a fourth rounder. That's a different conversation.
Well, no. Some fourth rounders actually play.
Not that I know.
How'd John Reed play? I don't even know.
Well, I remember the name being mentioned very, very, very highly during the offseason at practices we couldn't see.
Right.
So John Reed mentioned so much, but he can't play on this defense?
Right. Man, you got to be pissed. Listen. If you're a backup on this defense, you suck at football.
Yes.
You really do suck at football.
You can't find a way into the lineup into on this defense.
You can't get on the field. I mean, Keon Crossan, man, you better find something else because, honestly, if you're a cornerback and you can't get on the field for the Houston Texans, what team can you possibly play for? I mean, honestly.
I would have to. I can't think of one.
That is really, really, really. That is going low. Okay.
Low.
Yeah. I mean, that's like. What? Who's the crappiest college team now?
Vanderbilt.
Okay, you can't start if you're not playing at Vanderbilt. I've got aspirations to go to the league, dude. No, forget Vanderbilt.
Kansas.
You can't play on Kansas special teams. Give football up.
go pro in something other
make
than
sure,
yes, sports.
You're going pro in economics or in automotive repair. I don't know, but you ain't going pro in football. I can tell you that. Okay, and if you're at the Keon Crossins or the – what are some other backup – even John Reed, you're a rookie. I know you're a rookie, but guess what? This can't get any worse, and you can't get on the field? Holy crap. Dude, the future doesn't look bright. I just – sorry, John Reed. Sorry.
I mean, now we're just killing John Reed's
– No, I just feel bad for – I just feel bad because you're at the bottom rung. You are at the bottom rung of cornerbacks.
You're on the worst defense in football, at least from my eyes. I'm not sure what the numbers say, but it very much feels like it. And you can't displace Vernon Hargraves. You can't even be the slot corner. They'd rather play Eric Murray against Davante Adams. It's not great.
No,
not great
not
for the
great.
Not a great draft for the Texans.
Not great
so far on a team where you have places where a rookie can make an impact, not really happening.
So, yards per game at this point in our lives, defense, yards per game, the Texans are third from last.
Okay, see, not the worst.
Wow. Guess who's the worst defense yards allowed?
Is it the Jags?
They're second worst.
Who has been really, really bad? Is it the Jets are bad, but is it them?
It's surprising. It's the Seahawks.
Well, we talked about how awful they are, and they've been bad. Just been Russ in that offense. Yeah, that's not a championship defense. Clearly, is that a team that's going to get? Can Russ lead that bad a defense to a Super Bowl?
Oh, wow! If he leads this team to the Super Bowl, wow!
I mean, look at their running backs. I mean, as much as I love them because they were former Miami guys, you got a bunch of late round Miami picks or mid round Miami picks as their running backs, and Carlos Hyde who gets hurt, Chris, particularly Carson who gets hurt. I mean, Lockett and Metcalf are nice, but it's Russ and meh everywhere on that team. Look at him. Look at that roster.
That's bad. That's bad. 9 o'clock, ESPN 973-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.